We're back here on In Focus, News Radio KMAN. Brandon Peoples, Dave Lewis, and Captain Josh Kyle here from the Riley County Police Department. Got an alert here real quick to pass along. Denison Avenue between Kimball and Jardine is closed due to a power outage, due to a construction accident here. So if you're traveling in that area, just be aware that you will not be able to get through right now as that is going on. So continuing our conversation here with Captain Josh Kyle. We were talking a little bit earlier about text to 911, and you mentioned it's still important when you can to call first.
Yeah, absolutely. We get our best information through phone calls because we get to ask and answer questions. And I'll give you a good example. If you call in with a medical emergency, you're going to get asked a number of questions because we got to know how to respond appropriately. But also, one of the things we can start doing is telling you over the phone what to do for the person. To include, we can even go phone instructions for CPR. That's how far along we've come. So calling over the phone is much preferred over providing a text to 911. But if you need to, can't talk on the phone for some reason, you can do that.
And there's all sorts of reasons that could come up. Someone maybe in a hostage situation mm-hmm. could provide clues to an investigator. A domestic situation, I think, would probably be the most common.
Yes. There's also some scenarios, and I haven't had much luck with this, but apparently some people are in a situation where a phone call won't go through, but text will. So that's one possibility. If you're out of range for some reason and you can't seem to get a phone call through, you might be able to text through.
And you know, these days, probably most of your phone calls that come into dispatch are from a cell phone.
Oh, yes. Absolutely.
Anymore. So, all right. Well, that's definitely interesting. I think it's a good service to have. A lot of police departments I know across the country have started to implement that. And has this been something that's been in discussion for some time?
Oh, yes. This is part of a state system. And so joining onto the state system to be able to do that, that's something we got in queue for several years ago. When I was over in the support division, we were discussing that and starting to make that happen.
All right. Well, as far as other stuff here, the RCPD, I know there was briefly discussed at the last law board meeting, but there are discussions going on with a multi-year strategic plan at this point.
Right. It's always wise as part of an organization to take a look at your organization and ask the question, where are we going to be 5 years from now, and how are we going to get there, and what are our priorities going to be, and what are our values in heading in that direction? And so the command staff this year has gotten very serious about strategic planning and asking ourselves some tough questions. And we've come up with four major areas that we think we need to focus on over the next several years. I'd be hard-pressed off the top of my head to remember all of them, but essentially control the financial and social costs of policing. Another one is to, if we expect our police officers to treat the public with a procedural justice, we need to treat them that way. But, so basically, we serve and treat the officers well so that they serve and treat you well. That's kind of the idea there. And then there's a couple other major strategic goals, usually having to do with operations and ensuring that we're delivering the best possible services that we can that are effective, proven effective. And there's about 30-plus years of social science research that shows the police are effective when they're focused and proactive, and so it's important for us to make certain that we focus on the best available information that we have from a research perspective and do those things that we know work.
All right.
Now, on top of that, sorry to cut you off a little bit. On top of that, that's all good and well, but historically what happens is police departments will get this information together and then they'll say, okay, this is what we're going to do, with no input from the public or from their oversight group. And so it would be unwise for us to sit in a room and design all this and then not ask our own personnel and ask the public in some way and ask the law board, in our case, what do you guys think? Where should we be heading in the next 5 years? What do you perceive as a priority? So that's the process that we're going through right now. And it's very, what do I want to say? Sometimes there's a temptation when it comes to strategic planning to sit in a room, come up with something, and then never refer to it again. We're serious about this one. This is going to be how we take a look at our agency and how we prioritize things. I'll give you a good example. You come forward with a proposal to buy some widget for $50,000. The first thing we're going to ask is, how does that fit into our strategic plan? And if the answer is it really doesn't, well, then that's not something that's going to get funded. That's exactly how we're going to be thinking over the course of the next 5 years and hopefully well into the future.
Included within that, would that also encompass maybe how you respond to certain situations or community policing, stuff like that?
Oh, absolutely. It ties right into that. I believe one of the standards has to do with outreach into the community, at least one of the ones I'm working on. And eventually what happens with the strategic goals is they become objectives. And what we're working on right now is building these one of these objectives up to the point where we're having a project plan. So you laid out exactly how you're going to implement this. And so you know about SMART objectives. They have to be specific and measurable and have a timetable associated with them. And that's what we're working on right now. At least with each division is working on one of these strategic goals, pitting it to the point where it become a SMART objective and laying it all out how we're planning on doing that. That's where we're at right now.
All right. Goals are only good if they're followed through on.
That's correct. And again, it's very tempting for a lot of organizations, and we've been there ourselves, where we put through some really good strategic goals and they just kind of sat there and everybody forgot about them. I don't see that happening in this case. We're really going to take a look at everything we do and ask the question, where does that fit in our strategic goals?
You know, we're closing in on a year with almost a year since Director Butler took over. What's changed as far as direction here from the police department, would you say? Just, I guess it's been about 9 months.
Wow, what a great question. I had a conversation like that a little bit earlier, and since he's out of town, I guess I get to talk about him. So it is interesting. You know, everybody has their own management style, and it's really interesting. I think it took a while to get used to. You know, it's different, and we're an agency, fortunately, that's very stable when it comes to our top management positions. And so the transitions are always interesting for us, and it always takes a little while, but it's been a very good change. I think the biggest thing with him is, for one thing, a lot of different groups, uniforms. I'll tell you, for years we've been talking about we want a new uniform, right? We want a uniform change, and there's a number of good reasons for that. Well, Butler says, okay, I'm not the one that has to wear this uniform day in and day out, so I'm going to put it again, it goes towards this procedural justice voice thing, right? Give everybody a voice. So we're going to have a uniform committee. There's another group that's all kinds of issues. Our vehicles are another one. We want certain kinds of equipment in our vehicle. This is our office. This is where we work 24/7, right? So we want the vehicle set up a certain way and set up a certain equipment. Okay, well then let's have a group that hashes this all out and comes forward with recommendations so that everybody who works at a cars has a voice in this matter. And that's been very positive. I think the other thing is just outreach. He's out there a lot when it comes to contacting community members, fellow law enforcement agencies, and being involved at a state and even national level with in law enforcement circles. You'd be hard pressed to mention a chief of police that in this area that he hasn't heard of and talked to or know at some level.
I know he's recently been down in Aggieville undercover a little bit more. And I know his maybe cover got blown a couple times from officers finding out that he was down there. But
right.
That's neat to hear that, you know, he's doing that and going above and beyond.
Yeah, and it's not even that he's checking up on the troops. He just wants to see what the flavor and the atmosphere is. He'll show up for briefings. He spends a lot of his time making contact with folks and talking with folks. He's very open and very communicative.
Yeah,
I think I said that right.
Yeah, we've encountered that as well here with him coming on the program and just interacting with him through the media. As far as some other events you have coming up here, I understand there's a big thing that you wanted to talk about that's coming up on Sunday, right?
Yeah, near and dear to my heart, Boys and Girls Club. There's really good evidence that shows that kids who go to Boys and Girls Club are more likely to graduate from high school. And we know that kids that graduate from high school are going to stay away from crime over their life course. And so it behooves us as an agency to get in good with Boys and Girls Club, because in a very big picture and a positive way, we're avoiding crime in the future because we're helping kids get on the right path. So RCPD tacitly supports the Boys and Girls Club, and a good example of that is this weekend on Sunday. From 1 to 4, we're going to be at Seco Park Sledding Hill. It's the annual Duck Dash, and for $5, you can sponsor a duck in a race, and not a real duck. It's a plastic duck. It's a rubber duck. Mm-hmm. And what happens is all these ducks get put in this front loader, and the front loader dumps them down the sledding hill, and they go down this sheet of plastic, and the first three get prizes. And it's all a fundraiser for Boys and Girls Club. We're going to be there. We're going to be serving food. So if you want some hamburgers and hot dogs, there's going to be a bike rodeo there and a couple of other events. Come on down to Seco Park from 1 to 4. It's going to be a great time.
That sounds like a quacktastic event.
Oh, there you go. You're all over it.
All right. So that's coming up on Sunday. I know there's another event coming up here October 12th, police interaction course. We were looking at the Facebook page here this morning and just kind of glancing at that, but that's kind of a neat event as well for folks with autism.
Yeah, absolutely. You know about Project Guardians. That started with autism. I think it's expanded from there. The whole idea is that you can give us some information. Let's say you have a child with autism, and you want to alert the police that if they get a call, because sometimes kids with autism walk off or they get some kind of disturbance call involving a child with autism or some other similar issue, and you want the police to know that, hey, don't approach them, don't touch them, or avoid loud noises or those kinds of things, because it can upset them and cause problems and make them very agitated. And that's the last thing you want to do in a situation like that. So what Project Guardian does is it gives us a heads up that, hey, if you get a call with, I'm going to just use a name, sorry if it, you know, bothers anybody, but let's say Ryan, a child by the name of Ryan. Ryan has this condition, and these are things that you want to watch out for. He likes water, for example. So if we get a call that he's missing, he might be there. Look for in areas with water and in bodies of water. Those are the kinds of things that can really help us out when we're looking for Ryan and we make certain that Ryan's okay. So it started with that, and I think this is a continuation of that whole idea, is bridging those gaps that have existed historically between parents with children who have special needs and the children themselves and the police.
All right, and that is October the 12th. That's I believe that's a Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. I'll double-check my calendar. It's a Saturday, and that'll be 9 to 12 at Westview Community Church here in Manhattan. Great event. That's a great opportunity here for the public to get some more information on that. And then your next law board meeting, we were talking about this earlier off air, is not going to be here in Manhattan. It'll be up north.
Yeah, I believe it's Leonardville this time around, if I remember correctly. And there's some talk on within the law board that they wanted us. I mean, we're a countywide organization, so let's meet countywide. So there's been a significant effort to make that happen over the last couple of years, and so our next one's going to be in Leonardville.
That'll be October 21st here. As we continue on this year of 2019, which is wrapping up really fast. Well, Captain Kyle, anything else here before we let you go?
No, I don't think so. I appreciate the support. Manhattan, as always, is a great town to work in and to raise kids in, and I appreciate that. That's up to you guys. There's been a lot of work in law enforcement over the years, and the one of the hallmarks of democracy is that you can pick up a phone or now text and notify the police that there's something that needs their attention, and you guys do that a lot, and we really appreciate that.
All right. Captain Josh Kyle, Raleigh County Police Department, our guest here on In Focus. Stay tuned. We are going to hear from Tina Rockhold from Mercy Community Health Foundation next, a pre-recorded interview coming up, as they have a big event coming up this weekend. Stay tuned.